didn't even have any idea I was going to speak. And you know, I'm glad if I had to speak on this topic. Like I said, I'm Matt and I'm an addict. And I just want to tell you about, you know, how I got to Narcotics Anonymous. I guess I got to Narcotics Anonymous the same way as probably everybody in this room. You know, I used drugs too much too often. Ended up in rehab and I was introduced to Narcotics Anonymous because some addicts cared enough about other addicts to bring the message into that facility. When I got out of that facility, you know, I started going to Narcotics Anonymous meetings on the outside. And when I got to Narcotics Anonymous in 1994, meetings were real small. You know, there was only, you know, three or four or five of us. But they were small, but they were real intimate. You know, and the topic here is the first tradition. You know, personal recovery comes first. It depends upon NA unity. And there was unity, you know, and that's why I kept coming back, you know. And it was kind of funny, you know, I was 25 years old, and, you know, everybody was about my age, and we would do things. We would go, after the meeting, we would go bowling. After the meeting, we'd go shoot pool. After the meeting, sometimes we played poker. And you know, just as being an addict, sometimes we had a 10 o'clock meeting in Johnstown at that time called Just for Tonight. It ended at 11, and we sometimes played poker after that meeting till 9 o'clock the next day. And that was really important to me, you know, because I felt like I belonged, you know. But just like it says in the traditions, until we get involved in service, you know, these traditions don't make any sense. So, you know, I was about a year clean, and we had four NA meetings. I was a secretary one, and there was three other secretaries, and we all got along. And a couple people came from out of town from Pittsburgh, and they said, well, why don't we start an area service committee? You know, and this is the predecessor to Laurel Mountain Highlands area Narcotics Anonymous was the Cambria Somerset area, CASNA. And we started that, and what happened was is we had one NA meeting in Somerset, and we had four in Johnstown, and we started an area service, and this was all new, and we had grand designs. You know, we wanted to get a helpline, we wanted to get meeting lists, we wanted to get literature, and this was new and exciting, you know, and we all got involved in this NA service committee. And then all of a sudden, some addicts in Indiana County heard about what they were doing, and some addicts in Altoona heard about what we were doing, and they came, and they joined, and we formed Laurel Highlands. And you know, this unity stuff, if you really want to practice unity or learn about the Jewish, get involved in area service once. I remember one time, you know, me and another addict said, okay, we're fed up with what's going on here. We quit. We expected the whole thing to fold up, you know, because, you know, the great I am. See, that's one of the things I had to learn is that Narcotics Anonymous doesn't need me. I need Narcotics Anonymous. You know, and I quit for a couple months, and then I seen that, you know, I got humbled, too. Because I seen just without me being there, it didn't fold up. Now, that might sound arrogant, and it is arrogant, but at the time, you know, I really honestly thought, you know, if the great I am, Matthew, ain't there, it's going to all fold up. And I found out that this is a God-given program. It ain't going to fold whether I'm here or not. You know, so I got involved. You know, I got involved in H&I, and we started a meeting, taking meetings into adolescence because, you know, and again, it all goes back to when I was in rehab, people took meetings in there, and then we started taking meetings to adolescent rehab, and, you know, and eventually we got involved in jails, and we eventually, you know, it's kind of funny. I have the first retreat shirt here on. This is the retreat shirt from 1997. And I remember, you know, we were in area service, and you know, we were short on money, and we had different problems, and this and that and the other thing, and some of you know Lance. Lance brought up, why don't we have a 3-day unity retreat? And I got all pissed off because I said, how could you possibly? We're busy with this, you know, all these different things, and why would you want to divert our resources to? And I voted against it. So, and again, you know, I didn't understand what this retreat's all about. You know, I didn't understand that at the time, I didn't see because, you know, it was contemporary to investigation. And a lot of times, you know, I'm not the only one that has contemporary to investigation. But at the time, I didn't understand what this unity retreat's all about. What it's about is reaching out to people in other areas and building a big, you know, they say that the higher the point of freedom, the broader the base, the higher the point of freedom. And getting to know addicts from all different places. And, you know, I haven't missed one of these retreats since. You know, I keep coming back. You know, unity is really important. And, you know, it's one of these things is over the years, you know, I started meeting people, and then I see them keep coming back. And what that does is that strengthens my recovery. You know, since I go to all these retreats, and then I also go to the regional retreat. You know, I also go to our regional convention. And lately, I've been going to some other conventions, too. And all these different activities, you know, I feel more unity. You know, if you haven't ever tried it, try this. I did this. I went and packed my stuff, and I went to another state, pitched my tent, and went to a retreat. Well, I didn't take anybody, didn't know anybody. If you really want to practice unity in the program, try that one time. There's retreats all over the place. You know what I mean? Go to another state, not knowing really anybody. Throw down your tent and just go meet people. You know, that's how I really know that this unity works. You know, and I want to say a few things about... I'm going to say a few things because, you know, that they need to be said. I've been around a long time, you know. Unity comes from our primary purpose. Primary purpose is you know, help another addict stay clean. You know, and it's a message. You know, a couple of things, you know, my home group's the KISS group, which is a discussion meeting, but I'm sort of a home group member. Well, let's just say that I made a commitment to another group that's a step in tradition meeting. And one of the things that's real important for my personal recovery is to get into that, it works how and why. You know, and if you look in the tradition, if you look in the first tradition and it works how and why, it comes up with a topic of atmosphere of recovery. This is real important. You know, this is a life and death matter, at least to me. You know, during a meeting, getting up, walking around, answering your cell phone, talking to the person next to you, going to the bathroom, getting coffee, you know, it disrupts the atmosphere of recovery. Now, mind you, when I came to Narcotics Anonymous, that wasn't possible because you only had four or five people to look at. But as the years have gone by, meetings have gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. And you know, I guess it is that a lot of times it's very hard when you have 40 or 50 or 60 people in a room to have an atmosphere of recovery. I remember when I was new, I went to a lot of different meetings, but you know, when I didn't really feel comfortable sharing, you know, if my guts were burning inside, I didn't feel comfortable sharing with 60 people in the room. I spilled my guts at them little NA meetings with three or four people who knew me really well, knew me on a first name basis, you know, and I'm falling apart, I'm wanting to use, things aren't going right, you know, I talk to those people, and they pull me through it, you know, but even so, what it is what it is, you know. I don't have broad enough shoulders to be the enforcer of unity or enforcer of any tradition. All I can really do is set an example. And the best way for me to set an example, although it's difficult, is when I'm at a meeting, from prayer to prayer, sit in a chair. From prayer to prayer, you know, pay attention. It's very hard. You know what, for me, it's very, very hard, especially when you go to meetings, you know, I go to the same meetings practically week in and week out. And sometimes the same people share. You know how hard it is, but it also creates an atmosphere to listen to the speaker, even though you know every word they're going to say. That's very hard to do, but that's practicing unity. You know, other things that spring off of that, and it talks about it, it works how and why, is the meeting place itself. You know, I should, you know, one of the things that I could do is that, you know, I usually bring my own iced tea. Make sure this is thrown in the garbage. If I move a chair or something, make sure it's put back to where it is. It's these kinds of things that, you know, these are the kinds of things that makes an atmosphere. Also, you know, share honestly. You know, and share briefly. You know, sharing the recovery, that creates an atmosphere of recovery. You know, I'm long-winded. You know, sometimes I get in the groove and, you know, I can talk for 10 minutes. I try to catch myself. One of the rules that I personally have, you know, to foster this unity thing is if I repeat myself, I'm done. That's a good rule to follow. You know, if I say the same thing over and over, that means I'm done. You know, and I try to keep my sharing 3 to 5 minutes. That's something that I practice, you know, to foster unity. Some of the other things that foster unity is that, you know, when I came into Narcotics Anonymous, and I see this at least in my area, or at least in my town in the meetings I go to slip it, there was a real respect for the chairperson. Sometimes I think that gets a little bit lost. You know, when I came in, you know, the chairperson, it could be any one of us. So, you know, it wasn't like that part, you know, but everybody respected the chair. Everybody looked to the chair to pick a topic, if it was a discussion meeting, and pick an order of discussion. And the thing that creates unity from that is that, you know, I think that it says in you know, anything that goes on in a person's life, it works how I want, is recovery material. But the important thing to remember for unity is that it's fine if we have a clear NA topic and we have a clear way of identifying who's to speak. You can go way out in left field, and it's okay because the next person can come back to the topic. One of the things that, you know, if there's not a clear topic and somebody says, oh, does anybody have a topic? And somebody goes way off into left field, and then, you know, and the chairperson sits there and just looks at you and says, okay, who wants to share that left field shit? The meeting is going to be, it's going to be disorderly. You know, one of the things that I can do personally as an individual, as a member of Narcotics Anonymous, is when I chair a meeting, I can pick a topic. You know, and I can pick an order of discussion. You know what I mean? I can practice that. And it does. I mean, it does make for better meetings. It makes for more focused meetings. Some of the other things that foster unity is I share my own experience. You know, I don't share yours. You know, those are the kinds of things, you know. There are some topics that are very controversial. You know, most of them are in the traditions. You know, I've been to meetings where, you know, somebody says, does anybody have a topic? Yeah, I want to hear principles before personalities, and they give you just as much information that they assassinate somebody's character. They give you just as much information that you know exactly who they're talking about and what they're talking about, you know, and they make that a topic of me. Now, if I'm spiritually fit, I probably can handle that. But if I'm not, I'm liable to lace into the person that does that. You know, I'm liable to say some things that I need to make amends for. Because, you know, this is not the place. This is not the place for that. You know, it certainly isn't the place. You know, there's other controversial topics. You know, recovery houses coming to meetings. You know, that's a controversial topic. As far as I can tell, Narcotics Anonymous does not recognize walls, as far as I can tell. You're an NA member if you say so. It is none of my business. As a matter of fact, it is my pleasure and privilege to speak, to carry a message to anybody in this room who shows up to this meeting, whether you say you're a member of Narcotics Anonymous or not. You know, that's one of the things that's really strong, I feel real strong in my heart about. You know, the other thing is that when you come here, you don't have to necessarily come here clean. You could be using. I mean, I've seen people come to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. They're sitting in a chair and they're nodding off. You know, they're welcome here. You know, some meetings say you can't chair. When I lived in Cleveland, Ohio, we had a meeting, and it was a real small meeting. It was only five or six people, and there was a very a strong lack of detox units. And it was not uncommon to have somebody coming off a dope stick curled up in that fetal position at this meeting. And we just had one simple rule. If you used in the last 24 hours, you're welcome to attend this meeting. Don't, you can't share, but please come back next week, share with us clean. You can do that. There's nothing wrong with that. But even you using that is welcome in our meetings. That's real important. That's part of the third tradition, but it all ties back into the first tradition. You know, personal recovery depends upon NA unity. I've been around enough to see that even addicts who come to meetings using, I've seen them get clean. I've seen them get a message, and I've seen them recover. You know, the unity is a beautiful thing. It's a fragile thing, but it is a beautiful thing. I've been to meetings, you know, I've been to meetings where half the room was fighting with the other half of the room, and some poor addict came in, walked in the door, sat down, and said, can you help me? I can't get clean. Could you tell me something? I really can't get clean. And we would forget about all of our differences, and we would rally around that act and try to share a message of recovery, hoping to reach this person. I mean, that's where I see really the God of my understanding come in. Because, you know, if you look at our fellowship, we're so diverse. We're so different. You know, the disease itself. You know, I don't know about how your minds work, but the way this user mind works is, at least when I came in here, I always looked at, you know, first of all, I had bad motives. Therefore, if I have bad motives, you have bad motives too. I don't know if anyone else has this kind of addict thinking. You know, I would always look, well, what's this person trying to do? You know, what are they trying to get? You know, who the heck are they? You know, and I was really sensitive too. I don't know about anybody else. I'm a little bit thicker skinned over the years. But, you know, in the beginning, I was really thin skinned. Somebody would be sharing their own experience, and I thought they were talking about me. I'm probably not the only one. But everything about my disease told me I didn't belong here, that these people didn't like me. If they really knew me, they didn't like me. I mean, there was everything that the disease thinking was, you know, divide and conquer. You know, I really think truly that Narcotics Anonymous works for me, and it's been working for over 13 years now, going on 14, is because the disease, with my disease thinking, I could take any of you, any addict could take one-on-one and bullshit and manipulate one person. You can't do it with a group. You know what I mean? Especially if it's a group of recovering addicts who think just like you do. You know, even I had times I got a sponsor, and a lot of times I try to pull some wool over his eyes, and he just thought like I did. And he'd laugh at me. You know, and he'd say, Matt, if you could do what you want to do, this is what I'm going to do. If you want, it's proven to work for me and hundreds of thousands of other people. What you're doing may or may not work, but I can show you what I'm going to do, and you could do it if you want to do it or not. I really love that man today, because he didn't tell me what I had to do. He showed me what to do. You know, and people in Narcotics Anonymous, you know, showed me a new way of life. You know, working the traditions, like I said, I'm no enforcer. I'm not going to tell somebody, you know, that you're violating the tradition. You're not going to see me, you know, tell somebody, you know, correct anybody, because that's not my job. You know, I really think our unity comes from the fact is, no matter what, I show up at a meeting, I sit in a chair, and I make myself available to hear a message, and I make myself available to give a message. And you know what? That seems to work. You know, that really seems to work for me. You know, I've been around a long time. You know, I wasn't new to recovery when I got here. You know, I've been trying recovery since 1990. About 18 years. It didn't come easy. You know, a lot of times I try to do things my own way. You know, substitute one for... You know, if you really want to know my story, read Who's an Addict. You know, because that's where it's at. I did everything it said in the book. That's why when I picked up the, you know, the basic text of Narcotics Anonymous, you know, I had no problem, man, relating to that. I knew I was an addict. You know, but knowing I'm an addict didn't stop me from using. You know, it's people in the fellowship, the God of my understanding, my sponsor, and the fact that I'm willing to help other addicts in recovery. I want to really hear what Joel has to say, so I'm going to shut up with that. Thanks.
You want to hear me?
Yes.
I hope you guys don't mind, but I can't stand for a long period of time. So I'm going to sit in a lot of bunks, and I get a loud mouth.
Thank you.
That'll be enough on you. Hi, I'm Matt.
Name's Joel. Hi, Joel.
My home group is Make a Change. We're in the new area, East End area, Indiana. Next Monday night, if you're in Squirrel Hill, Monday night, 7 a.m., 7 p.m. Yeah, Monday night is p.m., right?
I said, I told you, I'm not quick.
Anyway, this is, somebody didn't show up, and I was asked to speak on this. And, you know, I guess I could speak on this for a long period of time. I'm going to do the best job I can do. I get some retention problems these days, too. Some problems, some medical problems I have. But we'll do it. Our calling offer should come first. Personal recovery depends on NA unity. You know, Matt was talking about unity, about a bunch of people going to the game together and everything.
When I first came around, my claim date is March 3rd, 1996. And I got clean in Squirrel Hill. I lived in Squirrel Hill, and I used in Squirrel Hill. So, good place to get clean. And you know what he was talking about also? How important we think we are? I figured everybody in the world in my neighborhood knew that I used. And when I first got clean, my daughters told me, people don't care if you're clean. And I realized people didn't care I was clean. People didn't care I was using. You know, we think that we're so self-important to ourselves only. But that's my own opinion. You know what they say about opinions. There was a group of people that got clean, I'd say from the tail end of 1995 till about the middle of 1996, and we all went to the same meetings. Now we didn't have four or five or six people that went to meetings. We had a lot of people in meetings. Pittsburgh has been very lucky. That was the Pazin area at the meetings I went to. There's two new areas now. Hope and Vigilance, which is called Havana, and Eanna, which is the East End area. They broke off from Pazin. Now, we took care. We looked after each other. We were each other's arms, were each other's feet. We took each other to meetings. At the beginning, I had a car. It lasted for about 3 or 4 months. And people made sure I got to meetings. We went out to eat afterwards. Saturday night was a big night after meeting. And then we usually went bowling and went to a movie together. And that was the beginning of NA unity for me. And I was working part of the First Tradition before I even worked the First Tradition. My sponsor in our sponsorship family has a program where you work a step and you work a tradition. And I think that's pretty good, and I try to do that with my sponsees. And, you know, our common welfare should come first. The key word there is common welfare. Common means all of us. And it just, I think some people just, they're still self-centered after all these years. Sort of like the Paul Simon song, you know? Still crazy after all these years. But people just don't realize about the we. You know, this is getting on to the first step. But it's about our common welfare. Our common. People forget about it. It's common. It's everybody in and around. You know, and I think that sometimes it's because maybe it's different up here, but I think it's because the breakdown of the unity that people forget about their common welfare. And these are all, believe me folks, these are all my personal observations. So, I was told by somebody who has about 22 years to always speak in I statements. And I try to, as much as possible. I'm going to fuzz out pretty soon. But they were talking also about prayer to prayer. It's another thing that I see people done. People walk around, and there's a lot of people who go to meetings, but I don't know. I have another home. In my home group, we're brand new. We have five home group members, and we have probably average about 20 people in a meeting. And if you're going to get up and walk around, somebody's going to say something to you. I have another home group in the South Hills area. The password is recovery at the monastery on Tuesday morning. Same thing. We get about 15 to 20 people to come to that home group, come to that meeting, and if you get up and walk around, somebody's going to say something to you. And maybe with all these big meetings that we have in the city of Pittsburgh, the idea, this is why a lot of unity is has gone down the toilet, so to speak. Again, this is my opinion. I don't know.
But I think that that because the people do not push the traditions enough, this first tradition is not practiced the way it should. And this is what happens, and I got to be honest with you, this is all I can talk about. Sorry. Thank you.